Yeah, actually, before you record, I'm actually interested in a new show format, too. Well, I just realized...
We're recording now, dude. We're on.
Oh, you are?
Yeah.
I think that you should stop the recording now so that we can answer Meg's question. Either way, it's going to get answered. So, Meg, what were you saying?
I was just... it's crazy. The last time I was on the show was, I think, the end of season one, and that was in 2009, so it's been a couple of years, fellas.
Yeah, and then, well, then you did the student tips, like, all through season two.
Yeah.
But that was kind of such a remote thing. Like, we just did it then. Wow, I can't believe it's been that long.
Yeah, a lot has changed since then.
So with that, welcome to season four, and welcome Mig Reyes from Chicago, and Nate now from Kansas City.
Yeah, no shit. I am here in Kansas City.
I am Donovan Beery, and I'm still sitting here in the fantastic state of Nebraska.
Still 36-point HQ.
Correct.
Holding it down. Just because I moved does not mean 36-point HQ. I do not think that it could find a better home than your office, Donovan Beery. That's what I'm saying.
Well, hello, guys.
Yeah. What's that problem, buddy? Meg. Oh, by the way, I'm sorry. I just got off work because I have a job now. And, yeah. I had to skip lunch. Just got off work at 7, and so I'm eating.
You're stuffing your face, aren't you?
Yes. Leftover pizza and Pringles. But yo, Mig.
What's going on, Nate?
Boy, Danny Pudi, wearing some threadless gear on. I was catching up on Community last night. You guys have? Does he just wear that because he's cool and he comes by the office sometimes, or do you guys have like a thing with Community?
Danny Pudi actually visited the Threadless offices last summer, and we got to meet him and hang out with him, and we sent him a box of Threadless tees so that he could rep them whenever he films a new episode of Community.
And now he plays Abed, right?
Yeah. Yes.
Okay, and Community is my favorite current syndicated, network sitcom out there right now.
Yeah, it's funny. Danny and I joked around that we were each other's doppelgangers, and so we took a t-shirt photo together, and it's a keeper.
I remember that photo. That's a great photo. Yeah, that guy's awesome. And anyway, I was watching it. It was like the Pac-Man astronaut ghost shirt. I'm not sure what the actual official name of that shirt is, but I was watching that. I was like, yo, let's throw the shirt, yo! That's because he knows Mig, I'll bet. Mig,
yeah, it's great. It's crazy. I was saying earlier that 2 years ago, I was on the show and I wasn't at Threadless. I actually didn't do the things that I do now. Or I think I feel like I've grown up a little bit, you guys.
Nah. Well,
maybe a little.
According to our off mic conversation before the show, I have perhaps grown up too much. But so, Mig, I guess, yeah, you spoke at Howe last year. You got your Threadless job. Can we just spend a little bit of time? Just let's let the world catch up with you and what you're doing. So
sure. Cool. I guess 2 years ago when I was on the season one closer episode, I still worked at an ad agency job in downtown Chicago that nobody ever heard of, which is totally cool. But I think that my big thing at the time was just, you know, I guess you guys coined me as like the most connected young designer that you guys knew.
Still better connected than any young designer we've met since.
I want to know.
Yeah, and it's funny. I guess I kind of thought about that, and it fueled me to be more than just somebody who networks. Because I don't know. It's funny. Episode we recorded back then, we talked about networking and how do you do, you know, how can students network and make a name for themselves? Because I think that's what I was on the road to doing. Now when I talk at conferences and speak at different colleges, I straight up tell everyone I think networking is bullshit. So I guess 2 years since then, I've gotten a job at Threadless as their first hired interactive designer. So I work on any and all Threadless design needs there, from the website to the emails to just the marketing and, I don't know, making fun little apps on the side at Threadless. And then now I also teach downtown Chicago at the Chicago Portfolio School. I volunteer my time with AIGA Chicago. I do a mentorship program there, or I volunteer with it. And Yeah, and I do the speaking thing now, which is really fun, and I'm always humbled and honored whenever I'm invited to speak. I'll be at HOW again this year, this summer. And I found out not too long ago when I was speaking in Jacksonville that Alyssa Walker sent me a note and invited me to speak at the national conference for AIGA.
Nice, dude. Well, okay. So it doesn't suck to be Mig.
I guess not. I definitely don't see it as like, oh, I've done all these like super cool things. Look at me. It's more so like, I don't know. I love this shit still, and I'm thankful for it. And I'm always, you know, really stoked about all these things. And I think that's a huge reason I do like to do these lectures and teach. It's just because, I don't know, I feel like I should pass on what I've learned to other younger designers. It's just
all of those things that Mig and his many old weathered years from the world and his travels. Listen, children, I'll tell you the ways. Now, when you say that networking is bullshit, and I know that this is a ground that we've covered on the show before, between you and Steve, I want to say that you and Steve Gordon are kind of like the ringleaders of graphic design's new networking kind of movement. Your messages are kind of similar. In fact, I don't know if you guys work together to hone that down or
eat with one another. Go ahead.
Well, I was just going to say that that's – so it's basically – and correct me if I'm wrong. Let me know if I'm following along right here. But it's more about shunning that traditional old business world view of what networking is. And it's about going out and making genuine connections with real people. And by that, I mean kind of making friends.
Like, yeah, no, totally. I think the first time I said that in public was at the HOW conference, and you know, the HOW staff was there. Debbie Millman was sitting in the audience, and I like prefaced it saying like, I'll probably get in trouble for this, but I think networking is bullshit. And I think Steve likes to call it connect working is what he coins it as.
That's his thing. You should steal that from him. One of you should write the connect working book and both submit it, or you should both try to write it and see who can get it published. Same title.
Yeah, but that's my whole deal. Like, I don't
start a rivalry.
No, we can't. You can't start rivalries when you're already buddies.
Yeah. Come on, man. Professor X and Magneto.
To me, that just sounds like a challenge that you need to get over and figure out how to win. I do have to say that, what was it, about a year and a half ago, Mig came down to Westland. Was it Westland University here in Lincoln, Nebraska?
Yeah.
And I did go down and see him speak. And for all you young student groups out there, Mig is a fantastic speaker. I also saw him speak at HOW last year. So call Mig to talk to your student group or your pro group. I don't know if you've done any pro groups, but Mig, good speaker. Recommended from 36 Point.
Oh, thanks, Donovan.
All right, now we're going to take a break. And when we come back, we're going to talk about HOW.
We're back.
Okay, Mig, now let us know, what is your topic at HOW? Are you speaking at the conference? Are you speaking at one of the pre-conferences? There's like 87 conferences. Which one are you speaking at? What are the details so I don't have to pull up the book?
Yeah, it's crazy. I think that's what's pretty fantastic is that the HOW conference whole shebang has grown, and they kind of make it a whole design event instead of just one conference. I'm speaking in Chicago. What's that?
Like, I was just going to ask, because there's like HOW Conference, Creative Freelancer, there's the big proper HOW Design Live thing that they're calling it. Like, yeah, tell us, what is your thing? Where is it at?
Yeah, I'm speaking at the HOW Design Live Conference. I think it's on Saturday at 3 in the afternoon. And my title for my talk is called How the New Kids on the Block Do It. And I think... all of my talks and why I'm usually invited to speak, kind of like Donovan already touched on, I still have this view toward talking with younger designers and, you know, kids my age that are trying to get into it. And so last year I spoke about what you don't learn in design school. And that was fun, but I think I want to change it up a bit. And so I've got a fun theme and talk prepared, or in the works rather, this year called How the New Kids on the Block Do It. And it isn't so much about studying people's work and just looking at what other people are making, because I think that there's a lot of that. And I think the How Design Live conference already has, you know, top 10 tips to make my type better and all those kind of sessions, which are super awesome. I don't have that kind of experience.
Yeah, it sounds like you really think those are super awesome, Mig.
I do think they're super awesome, but they're also led by people more experienced than me. And I don't have, you know, years and years of experience to, you know, speak on topics like that. But what I do have is experience of what it's like to find a job as a young designer and what it's like to be working as a young designer now. And I've seen a lot of things and have grown a bit. And what I'm really fascinated these days is with studying people's behavior and studying other working designers' behaviors instead of their work, and seeing what they've done and how they do the things they do instead of what things they make. So I'll have a lot of examples of young designer friends that I have that I think are doing amazing, great things that are, I guess, you know, they've made their own names for themselves. And I've got all these interviews lined up with all these people. And, you know, what is it that you've done and to, you know, make it for yourself? And so what I'm going to be presenting is the behaviors of, you know, really successful young designers. But my big thing is I don't want it to be a student talk, right? Like, so I'm totally cool and expecting that the students at the How conference will attend, but I don't want it to be just for students. I want it to be a refresher for, you know, some of the veteran designers that, you know, want to remember why they got into this in the first place, or, you know, at least figure out what is it that the new kids are doing that, you know, they're making a name for themselves, and how can I not fall behind? So I don't know, just a different approach to what the How conference normally does for students.
Well, and you know, Megan, let me talk to you about that for a minute, because here I am in Kansas City, not Omaha, and I'm here because I just spent the last year, actually technically kind of the last year and a half, on again, off again, trying to find work. Only I was trying to find work as a guy with 9 or 10 years experience, some of that, you know, running my own business, some of that not. And I think that, geez, I mean, I'm talking to people, there's a bunch of people out there going through that too. So if it's about finding a job in graphic design, I think that it's very natural, and we've done it on this show countless times, to talk about that from the, you know, the 22-year-old perspective. But I think that there's you know, an equal set of challenges out there for, you know, trying to find a job, you know, whether or not you've been laid off, whether or not you're trying to transition from freelance back into the agency world, which, you know, hey, I had to make a call. Like, okay, I can eat or I can keep living the dream. I would be, from someone that's going to be covering and attending a lot of these talks, I'd be really interested to hear some of that perspective from other people that have been going through it. You know, you don't want to get like the grizzled 20-year-old jaded dude up there talking about all his, you know, tips and tricks and, you know, and teasing people to get jobs or anything like that, but
yeah, and that's what I want to make sure it doesn't come across as. I'm not like, again, I'm just a kid from Chicago who you know, learned a couple things, and I just want to share not only what I've learned but what other people I know have figured out. And I think I'm in a fortunate position to share these kinds of things, because I started a project called Humble Pied, where I asked so many different people advice on trying to make it and trying to get out there. So with all the people I've met through Humble Pied and all the advice I've and conversations I've had with these designers on Humble Pied, and then also being on the hiring end of the, you know, job hunting process, it's interesting. I've learned a lot about what we look for in hiring designers at both the ad agency and even at Threadless. It's amazing how much you can learn about other people. And it definitely wasn't about who can we find that's a young designer, it was really just about who can we find that's a good, passionate working person who has great design. And these are the kind of things I'm really excited about sharing that I don't think a lot of people realize or know about. And maybe they do, it's just nobody is really talking about any of this stuff. So, and it's the same kind of stuff that I share with all my students when I'm teaching.
Yeah. Well, and a lot of that, Meg, I think is just about It's almost like serving as a catalog of those ideas and you know, and those things, because you know, obviously I think there's going to be plenty of stuff in your presentation that's going to come across completely new, because it's just outside of people's experience. But basically, mm-hmm. everyone at your talk will have looked for a job at one point, right? So
yeah. So I want it to be a good time. I want it to be fun, funny, and just like interesting to, you know, somebody new to it and somebody, you know, who's been there and done that, but still, you know, wants to see a good show.
Yeah. Or, you know, got laid off and needs to find a job and wants to find out how the kids are doing.
Yeah, exactly. So, I mean, I plan on just interviewing a lot of my, a lot of my friends that have done it and maybe share their advice, similar to how I do it with Humble Pie. And who knows where it goes, but
man, I think that's that would be a good thing to capitalize on. Donovan, yeah. Were you trying to jump in there?
Yeah, I was just going to say that we were on Humble Pie and that was great. So you can catch our advice there too.
I was kind of assy on Humble Pie, man. I wouldn't mind another go with that, but I don't think I earned a second chance with my Humble Pie.
Hey, but that was Nate Voss advice. That was the Nate Voss asshole advice. That is what you get. You get the real truth.
That's actually a huge reason I wanted to do that project. I guess I can kind of talk about it a little bit since it's new from the last time we spoke.
Oh, shit, we haven't talked about Humble Pie. I think we have, like Donovan and I have, but we haven't like talked about it. Tell us, how is it now? How's Humble Pie? By the way, humblepie.com. You ought to know.
Yeah. So a lot of people just ask me, how did you even think of this site or why did you make this? And the story is my alma mater, my old college, they asked me to come back and speak at the student-run conference. And I was flattered and I was humbled and I was honored. But I also felt like, you know, again, who am I to be fresh out of school and come back and do a talk and inspire people? So my thought then was, what if I got all the people that have inspired me? What if I got all of my old bosses, all of my old friends that I've met through AIGA? What if I just asked everyone who's ever inspired me and motivated me to share what they've shared before, and I can just share that with everyone else? So I asked Justin Ahrens, Von Glitchka, definitely you guys, and I decided to just start recording them through iChat. And so instead of working on a keynote, I sat down and started designing a little website for it. And then one morning I was kind of, you know, partied out. So I walked over to a cafe and tried to figure out how to make the whole thing in WordPress. And I ended up building the whole thing in a weekend just because I was so jazzed about it. So basically it's one piece of advice from a design celebrity. And I shared a lot of them at the conference. And so since then I've asked more and more people I've admired or I've wanted to meet, and just asked all of these really cool designer celebrities and people who have, you know, impacted the landscape of design. You know, if you had one piece of advice for somebody who's looking to get a job or looking to break into this creative career, what would your one piece of advice be? And it's just grown from there.
Meg, can I ask you a direct and personal question?
Yeah, sure.
What, for someone trying to break into graphic design, what is the one thing that they need?
Oh man, that is funny because I actually get
I'm
asked.
I'm humble-pying you, man.
You're turning the tables on me. One thing that I'm really really adamant about in telling all my students and whenever I do lectures now is, you really have to focus on working on something that you care about, and I guess we can call those side projects or passion projects. Because these are all the things that show how much you give a damn about the work you're doing, and it really shows how talented you can be. And every job I've ever gotten, whether it's through Threadless or at Rule 29, the pieces that really sparked interest in my future bosses or my bosses, my then boss at the time, were all the side projects and passion projects I did. And Humble Pied is in and of itself a passion project that I cared about. And so I guess to twist that or to kind of add to that piece of advice, you also have to be your own permission giver. Nobody asked me to make Humble Pied. And I could have said, oh, yeah, I have this cool idea, and maybe it'd be a website, and I would just archive a bunch of videos of people saying cool, inspirational things. If I didn't make it, it would have only been an idea. And nobody blogs about ideas. Nobody writes about ideas in magazines. They write about shit that actually is real, things that are, you know, produced and made. And so I just said, screw it. I'm going to try learning WordPress, and I'm going to figure out how to make this humble pie to reality. And so I did, and I didn't think anything of it. I just wanted to share it with my friends, but it got a lot of attention from, you know, different designers, and it helped me make a lot of new connections. And I do social media for AIGA. Nobody asked me to do it. I just started doing it on my own and, you know, said, screw it. If I get in trouble, I'll ask for forgiveness later. Nobody asked me to teach. I just wanted to do it because I, you know, it's like something I really want to do. So I think working on what you want to do and being your own permission giver would be the advice I would give to somebody.
I couldn't agree with you more about that, on that, Megan, on that note about never asking for permission to succeed. I think that that is that's something I picked up on kind of early on, which led to me leaving the Omaha design market after some time. So there, you know, there's a trade-off, but I'll tell you what, if you want to make it anywhere in the world, not just in graphic design or marketing or advertising or whatever, the minute you stop asking other people's permission to be a success is the minute you become a success.
Totally, man. Totally. And that kind of falls in line with when we do hire people at Threadless. We don't just look at your work, but we'll look on your Twitter account. What are you writing about? What are you reading? What are you laughing at? We'll look at your Flickr. What kind of things do you do? Do you like photography? If not, cool. What do you do? We look at all these side things that people make and they get themselves involved with. I always show this example from Facebook on their job applications for any designer. There's a little footnote at the bottom that says your portfolio includes personal or self-initiated projects, because it's really important to people at Facebook. And just so many people I know look for what you do beyond what you're assigned.
Well, our passion project is the Reflex Blue Show. You're listening to it now. You can find out more at 36point.com. And after this next break, we'll be back with Meg, and we'll chat about season 4.
We should do What Have You Been Designed In?
All right. Well,
still my favorite segment.
We'll be right back.
Man, what's going on?
What have I been designing? Well, at Threadless, I've been designing a lot of new stuff for the new Threadless. We're hoping to roll out a brand new threadless.com, and we're changing our look, our feel, but you know, we're doing some upgrades, and you know, we've been around for over 10 years. We want to launch something brand new that we're all really excited about. So we've been.
Are you guys leaving T-shirts and moving to Ascots by chance?
No, T-shirts are still a big part of it.
Damn it!
We want to go beyond the T-shirt, and I think that's the most exciting part. Is that we don't want to be just a T-shirt company at all. Our new vision and our new role is to support the underdog artist, and so one of our best examples of that is there's this kid, I don't know if you guys have heard of him. His name is Ollie Moss. And this kid...
Fucker, how dare you insinuate I do not know Ollie Moss's work.
He did the coolest Star Wars posters like of all time last year, I believe.
Absolutely. He's internet famous now. So this kid, he's super talented, super internet famous, but he got a start on Threadless. And his first most, you know, reputable pieces of work were pieces he did for Threadless. And so Ollie Moss is the example of what we want to be doing for all of our artists, and we want to encourage them to keep on making great work and keep on rewarding and giving our artists exposure, because it's not so much about the T-shirt, it's about the involvement of our artists and the great designs coming through day in, day out. So we're working on newthreadless.com.
Are you getting like into deep like UX on that?
Oh yeah, we're rebuilding it with new technologies. We're we want to do different versions of our site with different, you know, screen sizes. So I don't know, we give a damn about what we're doing, and we want to do it right from the ground up.
Doing some what are you guys working on up in there? I'll take that, Donovan, since you didn't jump right in. Getting used to our distance format here. Well, I'll tell you what, Mig, I too have been designing websites from the ground up, digging into UX. I, as a person, now know what UX is.
And, welcome.
Yeah, it's I had my first UX meeting, which is user experience. Don't be ashamed to not know that. Seriously, like a couple weeks ago, I would have been hard pressed to tell you. But had my first meeting with a UX expert, a UXpert, if you will. And I watched this guy diagram out a complete sitemap and wireframe in the span of about 5 minutes that probably would have taken me 2.5 days.
UX is
incredible to watch.
It's awesome, and it's such a important part of just making the web.
Yeah. Oh my God. Yes. And it's the kind of thing that up until now, myself and a lot of designers I know, it's the kind of thing that we did a little bit on the side while we're trying to figure out what the site should look like. We think a little bit about, okay, how's someone really going to use this? But like a UX professional, that's all they do is think about how someone's going to use it. That's their entire job. And as far as my experience has shown anyway. And well, that's just one part of it. But since season 3, did we just get done with season 3, Donovan? We've been doing this for a while.
We actually finished a season 3, unlike that last time where we got 3 episodes into a season 3.
Yeah, right. So since then, I got a job at a fantastic place called VML, which you can check out at vml.com. They got offices like everywhere. You got here, Kansas City is your home base. They got New York, got London, got, what's the one? I don't know, like Madrid, like crazy, like there's a Madrid office or something, which I have not been to. But,
Well, congrats on the new gig and the move.
Thanks, dog. It's pretty rad. But all we do is it's 100% digital. There's no print work. There's nothing like that. I mean, I think it gets, you know, sporadically you might hear about, oh, someone did a poster over there, but it's like really rare. And, you know, we work with other mega advertising agencies. We'll be handling like the print side, and we'll be handling like Gatorade's website. Like there's a Gatorade team. They're upstairs. They have Gatorade stuff everywhere. It's awesome. I am not on the Gatorade team, but I've been basically up to my forehead in one website, and I've got another website project that's kind of happening currently, and the complexities of this are just so much greater and so much more in depth than the work that I was doing when I was solo. It's been a confounding, exhausting, completely exciting, completely exhilarating experience for the past like 2 hours.
Glad you dig it.
Yeah, it's been it's pretty rad. I like it. Anyway, so that's what I've been designing. Can't go into much more detail than that, but eventually put it out there. But yo, vml.com, check it out.
All right, well,
and they're hiring. I'll put that out there too. Shit, we need people. Send it in. This is currently, what is it, like May of 2011?
Yes.
If you're listening to this in like September of 2014, you might want to check the website. But if you listen to it right away, yo, we need peeps. We need good peeps. Donovan, what you been designing, man?
Well, I'm still here at 11:19, and you know, since I can only think a day in advance, we're hopefully tomorrow we'll hear about a logo that we just designed for this little like six between. They're like a maybe a dozen people, and they've been around a while and they've never had a logo, so it's been kind of fun because it's like you don't get a lot of companies that are 150 years old that have no branding. So we're working on that.
I remember we talked about this. My big question for you was justifying a logo for a company that has been around for 150 years and has never needed one. Well, they're getting like how did they get to the point where they were suddenly like, yeah, fuck it, we probably could use a logo, even though we've existed for 150 years without.
Well, they want to update their website, and their website, you know, just had their name and type like all their other collateral has, where someone just typed it, whatever the typesetter had. And they thought that was that updating their website into more modern standards than when it was done 8 years ago. Maybe it was the good time to actually set forth a kind of brand look with it.
Okay, so the cart's driving the horse a little bit there.
A little bit.
But it's a good excuse to go back and get the ball rolling on all these greater things.
Yeah. There's a lot of times where sometimes a company just needs to update their website, or, you know, they update their owner and stuff and they do a logo tweaking. In this case, I think they kind of thought around that lines and realized, oh, I guess we probably should get a logo before we tweak it.
Yeah, probably. We should look into that. Well, I feel like that's a pretty good what you've been designing. And this would now be the part of the show where we do the, like, the biweekly what's happening, what's update. But you know what? I just moved to Kansas City. I'm living here on camping chairs and an inflatable bed and an Xbox. And I'll tell you what, I couldn't tell you at all what is happening in the world of graphic design right now. I assume there is still a world of graphic design out there.
Yes, there is. We'll be covering it. Let's just say we'll be covering it every 2 weeks for this season four, and we'll catch.
Yeah, Donovan, that was my question to you. Is there anything new that you guys are doing with this new season, or what? Any guests you guys have in the works or planned, or anyone you guys want to talk to?
You know,
what
do you guys plan? Just to give a heads up to the listeners, we'll probably do more of these via remote, which means we'll probably get more nationwide guests. Because since it's not possible for Nate and I to be in the same room on a regular basis anyway, and we're going to have to do these via iChat or Skype, we might as well just recruit other people that won't be in the same room.
So yeah, I feel like our third guest, you're our third guest here, our third man on the show, or our third, you know, not limiting it in the future to men is what I'm trying to say, but I think our third man possibilities are going to open wide up here, but we're still going to have to make sure, you know, for our listeners' sake, that we give them their ample, like, amount of Steve Gordon dosage. A lot of people come to this show for that, and we want to make sure that we deliver when possible. But cool. I feel pretty good about that. Starting season four here. Jeez, we've done it all told. It's like, are we technically starting our sixth and a half year? Are we technically starting our seventh year podcasting here?
That's too much math for me. So either way, we'll catch everyone in Chicago. We will be there for the whole design week or whatever they're doing.
We're looking forward to having you guys.
Yeah, Mig, we'll see you there. Hopefully we'll get you on some of our daily recaps. We'll hunt you down.
We'll see you there.
Like, I still, if time permits, I would love to come by the office, but now my schedule is nuts.
Doors open for you guys, so let me know.
Sounds great.
All right, guys. Thanks for having me on again.
Yeah, hey, Meg, anytime. Literally anytime you want to be on the show, you can get some drink. Donovan, I see you. Take it out.
All right, man. We'll catch you later. 2 weeks.
All right.
Peace out, everybody.
Kapow.